William Dean Howells' novel, A Hazard of New Fortunes, is set in New York City in the late 19th century and follows a handful of New Yorkers as they navigate the city's social and political environments. My brother, award-winning essayist, poet, and novelist Philip Lopate, wrote the introduction to the Penguin edition, and he's here today to talk about Howells and this 1890 novel on this week's segment of our Summer Underappreciated Literature series. Welcome back to our show.
Glad to be here, and I think this is a wonderful thing you're doing, this underappreciated literature series.
Well, in this case, we're talking about a writer whose name is kind of familiar, but do people read his books?
It's funny. He was such a major figure that critics refer to this period as the Age of Howells. And when he moved from
Despite the fact that Mark Twain and Henry James were also writing at the time and knew him?
One of the reasons that he was so important was that he had such a broad sympathy and such an ability to get along with people that he was probably the only man in America who was good friends with both Mark Twain and Henry James. They both disliked each other. But they loved Howells, and Howells was also an editor. He was the editor of the Atlantic Monthly, and he published, he championed all kinds of people like the black poet Paul Laurence Dunbar, the Yiddish writer Abraham Kahan, all sorts of Latin American writers and Spanish writers, and he was somebody who had this this tremendous sympathy, and he poured it into A Hazard of New Fortunes.
But it's interesting. He didn't get past it a grammar school education. Didn't he drop out when he was just 10 years old?
He was not college educated. His father was a very poor printer and a kind of dreamy guy. He was a Swedenborgian and very anti-slavery progressive. And Howells himself became a real progressive. So Howells started... quit school and became a political reporter. And then he wrote a campaign biography of Abraham Lincoln, and Lincoln liked it. A lot of other people liked it. And when Lincoln won the election, he appointed Howells consul at Venice in Italy. And so Howells spent the whole of the Civil War as a diplomat in Europe.
Although some of the characters in this book had fought in the Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, he was he certainly was attuned to the struggles that were going on, and as I say, he was very progressive, a big supporter of black rights, women's rights, and so on.
And also an admirer of European literature, Heinrich Heine when he's younger. You mentioned Dostoevsky and Turgenev?
Yes, Dostoevsky, Turgenev. Alfred Kazin wrote very interestingly about Howells, and he said that Howells united was a bridge between Emerson and Zola, and that he thought that that he was the single greatest force in literature in his epoch. So he was somebody who really he was a champion of realist fiction, and along with Stephen Crane and Frank Norris, and so he was very interested in Zola and in the Europeans, and he was always sort of bringing them before the attention of Americans.
In the beginning of the novel, Basil March talks with his wife about making the move from Boston to New York, and she calls the city big and hideous, and that was even before the Yankees and the Red Sox had a rivalry. Was the relative status of the two cities different then than they are now?
Well, Boston was considered much more civilized, and New York was considered clamorous and vulgar. And in fact, Howells had written a book many years before called Their Wedding Journey about these same characters, the Marches, in which they drop in New York and say, oh, you know, we were much better off in Boston.
And did he feel that at the time? He's from Ohio, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's from Ohio, and he became more Bostonian than the Bostonians when he was running the Atlantic Monthly. But then he started getting the itch for a wider arena, and he moved to New York. And when he moved to New York, it was said that the center of literary gravity had shifted from Boston to New York just because Howells moved to New York. He wrote a letter to Henry James in which he said, he confessed, he said, we all like New York in our wicked hearts. So he came to love the city.
Well, the Marches come to New York regularly for to enjoy certain cultural events, right, but live in Boston. But New York was.
But then they move in the novel to New York,
yeah,
and then they experience the classic looking for an apartment trauma or search, you know, always adjusting their expectations downward as they realize they can't get all the things they want.
So that sounds familiar today.
Yes, it certainly does. Already there was an apartment squeeze.
There are any number of other things in this book, yes, that will sound familiar to contemporary New Yorkers. Yeah. So the city hasn't changed all that much?
Well, the moment that he writes the book, A Hazard of New Fortunes, which was written in 1890, it's become a modern city. And this is the first great American city novel. Howells practically had to invent the form of the city novel. There, of course, had been great European city novels by Dickens and Balzac and Dostoevsky, but there wasn't a great city novel. And New York was a very peculiar city because it didn't have the kind of social stratification and society embedded in it that the European capitals had. So he was thrown into this city, which I would say was a city of strangers, because you had all these immigrants pouring in, and then you had a lot of Americans from other parts of the country pouring in, including a lot of people who had new wealth, because don't forget, this was the Gilded Age. So you had everyone thrown together, and everybody was, in a sense, self-invented. You know, it wasn't like people on a southern porch saying, oh, I knew your great-granddaddy, or I knew your uncle. You know, nobody knew anybody. So it made for a very different experience of you might say, sympathy and mistrust.
You say in the introduction that New York could be called the main character of A Hazard of New Fortunes. So were the marches just a vehicle to get into all of the different things he wanted to talk about in the city?
It's an ensemble novel. There are lots of characters, and I do think that New York is the main character. The marches are kind of a stand-in for the middle-class reader, because part of what this book is about is the development of a kind of consciousness or conscience about poverty, about the fact that not everybody is doing so well, about the suffering that's going on in different parts of the city. And so the marches are important, but they're not prime movies. They don't really get most of the action going. They just observe.
Basil March had worked in insurance, but they moved from Boston so that he can help found and edit a magazine called Every Other Week.
Yes, which is like a proto-New Yorker, you know. And Adam Gopnik, who works for The New Yorker, wrote a very appreciative piece about this book. He said it was the best novel about middle-class life in New York that had ever been written. And it's very funny to read, because Howells knew so much about magazines, and he knew about the problem of the cover illustration, about how to be all things to all men, about how to be light and airy and yet substantial. And so you get a real picture of New York at that moment when it became the media capital of the United States.
In the opening pages, a character named Fulkerson says of this new magazine, "Do I look like the sort of lunatic who would start a thing in the twilight of the 19th century without illustrations?"
Exactly.
Sanders said that pictures were important. But this is he talking about photographs, or he's still talking about etchings and line drawings?
Both. And I think it was mostly etchings and illustrations, and some of the characters are in fact graphic artists. Another thing that makes the book so relevant to today. So you had a very sort of smart, sophisticated take on here's this spectacle of New York, which is both aesthetic and also politically disturbing. How do we exploit it? Because that's really the problem for the startup magazine.
My guest is Philip Lopate, and we're talking about William Dean Howells' novel, A Hazard of New Fortunes, which is available as a Penguin Classic. Is this his best book? Should we be talking about William Dean Howells as a great writer in general?
I've read a lot of William Dean Howells. I feel very sympathetic to his writing, and I think pretty much all of it is intelligent and interesting. I like a short novel called A Modern Instance about divorce. I like Indian Summer about Roman Holiday. But I think this is his best book. He's often singled out for The Rise of Silas Lapham, but I think this is better and deeper and is really one of the great American novels. But you know, Lionel Trilling had an essay in which he talked about, why don't we read William Dean Howells more? He's such an appealing, engaging, such a fine novelist. And he came to the conclusion that modern taste requires more of a sense of evil than Howells had. Howells understood suffering, but he really wasn't big on evil.
But he does talk about all the big issues of the day.
Yes.
And he also has Basil walking around the city and giving us material for the urban sketches that he has been asked to write.
Exactly. And there are a lot of sort of wonderful cutaways, you might say, digressions in which we get pictures of this new immigrant city. And Howells loved loved all the immigration coming into the city. He thought it was exciting. Of course, he had been in Italy for years. But compare his attitude to his friend Henry James, who was kind of appalled that all these swarthy types pouring into New York City. Howells liked it, you know.
Well, he obviously would have been a liberal or a progressive today.
Yes.
And the novel addresses several social and political issues.
There's a big strike. Yeah, there's a streetcar workers' strike, which we would now call a transit strike.
And yes. The problems of capitalism, as
yes.
he saw it. He grew up, as you said, the son of somebody who had career problems because of his opposition to slavery.
I would say for a long time Howells was optimistic about America and liked what America was becoming until a certain point, and probably it was the Haymarket incident where these anarchists were falsely charged with setting a bomb and were hanged, and Howells was the only public figure in the literary world who spoke out against the Haymarket riots.
So here we have the streetcar drivers going on strike mm-hmm. and eventually rioting, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. based very much on the Haymarket riot in Chicago.
And also there had been a streetcar strike, which inspired Howells directly to put that. He was looking for a larger canvas and for something, for novels to be something more than stories of love affairs, you know.
But do you think that he's harder on his characters that have beliefs he doesn't share?
I think he's sympathetic. He doesn't demonize the millionaire character, you know. I think that's something that he has a lot of tenderness, and I think that's something that that should appeal to readers now, even if it's not what the modern canon insists on most.
Although he was also accused of aestheticizing poverty.
Yeah, well, he understood that. He didn't try to write characters who were very poor. He really wrote a book about the middle-class sensibility, and so it's a book about liberalism, and it's a book about the failure and limitations of liberalism as well.
Why do you think he returned to the marches after many years, after writing about them in The Wedding Journey?
I think that he knew he was taking on his biggest challenge of his life, a big... you might say Russian-type novel, and he needed something that he was familiar with, and he knew these characters and marches. He knew he could put them in, and also he was a great writer of domesticity. That was the other thing that he introduced to American literature. He wrote about marriage. He wrote about everyday life in a way that was really pioneering at the time.
And how much of it is based on his own life? How much of this is autobiographical?
Well, we know that he moved from Boston to New York. We know that he knew he worked for magazines. We know that at times his own marriage probably was getting a little fraying, you might say, at the edges. He was really interested in the drama of everyday life, not melodrama. He wanted to move the novel away from melodrama and more towards the everyday.
And in depicting the way a marriage goes through difficulties.
Yes, and survives.
You conclude your introduction to this book by saying that we should stop asking why people don't read Howells anymore. Well, at the risk of annoying you,
yeah,
Philip,
why
do you think people don't read him as much anymore if he was such a giant and this book is so much of a pleasure to read?
Well, the reason why I said we should stop asking is because he continues to be very important in American studies, and critics of American literature take him very seriously. So people do read him, and this book is out actually in the Penguin edition and the Library of America edition. of course, we don't read many writers with three names anymore. We're prejudiced against them.
But it also does, if you're interested in the history of America at this time, this book does really give us a sense of what the world was like, and New York at a time when there were a lot of elevated trains. That's one of the big differences.
That's a fabulous passage where the marchers are in this elevated train and they're snooping into the rooms of the people they're passing. And Lenny and I know that we both lived in one of those apartments that faced an elevated train, so we saw it from the other end.
Were there any subways to speak of at the time?
I think they were first beginning to build the subways. They had already built the Brooklyn Bridge, which was really important. So this book is a must for anybody who cares about New York City, I think.
Now, he lived for 30 more years.
Yeah.
So what did he do after this?
He wrote. He scribbled. He was an inveterate writer. But I just read a novella of his called Sleep and a Forgetting, which is very good. But I think he wrote this novel at a key moment when his daughter died, and I think he never fully recovered from that.
Do we see his influence in other writers? Like Edith Wharton?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see his influence also in all the New York novels, you know, from Sister Carrie to Invisible Man to Don DeLillo's Underworld, you know, all of the New York, Manhattan Transfer by Dos Passos, very influenced by him. Dreiser especially thought he was an important figure, and I think Dreiser took the most from him, and Dreiser truly is a giant.
Are there any other examples of fiction from this time? You've done an anthology of New York writing that we should be aware of. And I'm also thinking about a new book that just came out that focuses on writing of Brooklyn. Is Brooklyn a separate city in this regard?
No, it's not a separate city. It's part of New York City, and darn lucky to be part of New York City. I was never a separationist.
But there are so many writers who've chosen to live in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. Brooklyn has...
Not Howells. Howells was definitely a Manhattanite.
He was a Manhattanite, but... And you can go by 57th Street, Central Park South, and see a plaque where William Dean Howells lived, in fact. They did put a plaque out for him, just as they have one for Mark Twain on West 10th Street.
And the cover of the Penguin edition shows a painting by Childe Hassan,
yes,
which is very much in the spirit of this book. William Dean Howells, A Hazard of New Fortunes. It's available in Penguin Classic edition, and it has been the... topic of today's Underappreciated series. Thank you so much, Philip Lopate, for being with us.
Anytime.